Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Living a Richer Life. This is Earl Cobb.
And this is Charlotte Grant Cobb.
Our theme for tonight's show is Fathers Matter in the Lives of All Families, How to Heal Broken Relationships.
If you have ever heard the words, just wait until your father gets home, you probably grew up in a family where you recall those moments when your dad walked through the door home from work. That traditional view of fathers is confusing to many who do not have a father in the home. Dads are not in the home for whatever reasons, but their absence results in too often broken relationships and broken hearts. How can these relationships begin to heal so that all the lives involved are enriched?
We have in our studio with us tonight Vance Sims. Vance is the founder and executive director of Father Matters, Inc., and his wife, Raina. They are the authors of Brokenness Produces Pearls. Vance and Raina, welcome to Living a Richer Life.
Thank you so much for having us. Good evening.
Hello, Earl.
Good to have you, both of you. We will begin our interview with Vance and Raina Sims right after this message.
You're listening to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio. We will open the phone lines at 25 minutes after the hour. Our toll-free number is 855-345-4714. You can also join the discussion via the blog page and on our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Now back to tonight's show.
Welcome back. Our theme tonight is Fathers Matter in the Lives of All Families, How to Heal Broken Relationships. And tonight's interview guests are Vance Sims, the founder and executive director of Father Matters, Inc., which is a nationwide nonprofit organization of fathers mentoring fathers, and his wife, Raina Sims. They are the authors of a new book titled Brokenness Produces Pearls. First of all, Vance and Raina, would you take a few minutes to share with us a little about your background, you know, where did you grow up?
Sure, Earl. I'm originally from Baltimore, grew up there, and my mom got married when I was about 12 years old, and we moved to San Jose, California, and I finished all my schooling, elementary, junior high, and high school in San Jose, California, but always went back home to visit Baltimore and have been here in Phoenix since 2005.
Hello, okay. Earl and Charlotte. This is Raina. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. I have two sisters and a brother, and so we have generations of family here from Phoenix. Haven't strayed too far away, so I know that's kind of unique to most people being a native-born Arizonan, and this is my home. This is where I'll stay.
Very good. Did you guys meet in Phoenix or in California?
Here in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Okay. Terrific. What motivated you to write Brokenness Produces Pearls?
Well, one, for us, we've both been married and divorced before. And I would hear a lot of people say, you know, hurtful things about marriage or how they were just wounded and hurt in relationships. And basically, we're also people who also went through things in life. So we wanted to let people know that when things happen in life, you can get bitter or you can get better. And we chose to get better, you know, and your brokenness can and will produce a pearl if you just keep on moving on, keep pressing on. Things will happen in life.
Yes, and Earl, I just think that you know, Vance summed it up pretty well, but I think we've all experienced some pain in our lives, and it's a matter of embracing that pain to, first of all, help heal yourself and understand what you've learned in going through that experience, but hopefully to share that experience and help others get better too. And so Vance and I, as he said, have gone through our own experiences in life, being divorced, but then many, many other things, and we chose to take those lessons that we brought away from not only having people hurt us, but also hurting others and not realizing it, so recognizing that, and then turning that into something positive where we can share our experiences with others and hopefully help them, you know, garner some tools to get through the brokenness in their lives and turn that mess into a message.
Very good. Well, I sort of got an advantage because I know both of you, and I know the job that you're doing in your community and with families, and we're going to get back to more details about your new book and your inspiring literary work in a second. We're going to take a few moments now and talk about tonight's theme. The theme for tonight's show is Fathers Matter in the Lives of All Fathers, How to Heal Broken Relationships. Now, like most things in life, there is the good, and unfortunately, there's also the not so good. When we talk about fathers in general and the importance of fathers in the lives of all families, of course, we find the same scenario. Here is some sobering, not so good news about fathers. In America, according to the U.S. Department of Health, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, and 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, 70% of youth in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes, and the statistics just go on and on and on. However, as we will discuss tonight, there is plenty of good news and opportunities for us to change as well. For example, here's an excerpt from a letter written by a 27-year-old when asked why having his father in his life mattered. He wrote, "My father taught me many good lessons in the 27 years I had with him and was a tremendous role model to me. He taught me to work hard for what I want in life. He taught me he wasn't perfect, and nor was I. He taught me to learn from my mistakes and not to repeat them. He taught me to step up the two challenges and not run away from them. He taught me to treat others the way I would want to be treated. He taught me to take care of those who need help. But more importantly, my dad taught me to love unconditionally and to appreciate the blessings that surround us every day." Vance and Raina, let me ask you two, based on your years of professional and personal experience, why do fathers matter?
Well, one, our fathers matters. I like to share with people when we're doing workshops. I ask the men to raise their hand if they have daughters, and I say most likely our daughters will grow up and marry the same type of man that we are, and our sons will grow up to be the same type of man that we are. And I stress, Earl, that there is a wound that only a father can afflict, and there is a healing that only a father can heal. And we realize that men today are doing life on their own. The average man has less than four friends in a lifetime. Four friends, Earl. Now, I'm not talking about their beer buddy associates or the guys that have come over to their house and drink up all their beer on Monday Night Football and leave their house a mess for their spouse to clean up the next morning. I'm talking about men are doing life alone these days. And we don't know how to connect our hearts with other men. We're trying to readjust our lives with other broken people. And it's very important for men to connect with each other, to do life and grow, and just support each other.
You know, that is, yes, go ahead, Raina.
Oh, I was going to say, from my perspective in working with young children, a lot of newer research is showing that most of the critical brain development happens before the age of five, and unfortunately, we have a lot of startling statistics, not only just in the state of Arizona, but as you alluded to, across the nation, of how children are being raised in fatherless homes and what that does to their overall development in those early years. And what we're learning is that just by having some of the exposures to what we call adverse childhood experiences, having one parent removed from the home, things that can lead to other bad experiences, like being a single parent, and sometimes that might also be associated with living in poverty. All of these things that build up to stress in the home lead to childhood experiences that are not so very positive, and what that does to the child is build an unsafe, unstable nurturing, or unsafe, unstable environment where they are finding it hard to bond with other people. They're finding it hard to socialize. They're not developing those critical skills that we see in successful people. And so it's almost like the foundation for having a successful life is missing. And oftentimes that is attributed to not having both parents either in the life or in the home. And you're right, most of the statistics can lead to children who grow up without a father. Oftentimes there are just, single-parent homes with a mother involved. Vance is doing a lot of great work with men who want to be involved in the lives of their children. There are long-term negative outcomes that can be associated with that. We see that when children are exposed to things such as poverty or, one parent leaving and any other adverse childhood experience, what that does to your health outcomes, to your social outcomes later on in adulthood.
You both have a very interesting perspective relative to fathers and fatherhoods. Let me ask you this. What would be the top three challenges that's faced by most fathers that are not faced equally and as often by mothers? Okay.
I would say, for one, the custody issues. Earl, there are so many men who want to be fathers to their children today compared to, the 70s and 80s. I'm not saying it's better, but there are a lot of men who want to be in the lives of their children, and they're getting blocked either through the court systems, child support services, or the mother just does not want the men in their life. Another one I would have to say that we still, a lot of us as men, don't know what we want to do. We feel incomplete, meaning we will come home and express ourselves in a way that's different. Like if a boss will make us angry, we won't snap back at the boss. We won't snap back at that person that cut us off in traffic. But we will come home and break up everything in the house. And what we're really saying is, I don't feel like I'm providing enough for you. I'm not doing enough for the family. And we don't know how to reach out.
That's interesting. Now, do you see any change in that perspective over the years? I recall back when I was growing up a few years ago, dad worked outside the house. My mom stayed at home. I had seven sisters and brothers, so she was busy having kids and taking care of kids. But the idea of dad coming home, being the breadwinner, as you would have it, was something that we all thought through. Now, dad didn't break anything, but also it was pretty clear that he had to deal with challenges outside the home that we weren't aware of, particular back, in the 50s and 60s when he grew up. Do you see any more, in the 21st century than it was years ago? And what's driving that, if you do see some trajectory in one way or the other?
Well, if we even go back further from the 50s and 60s, Earl, there was a time when the son would go to work with the father right in at the farm, right on the ranch, right on its property. So within 2 feet of the father would be the son. So he would be able to know what it takes and what it means to be a man, because he's always with his father. And then when the 50s and 60s came, when, yes, you said it right there, when the father needs to leave the home. And now when a father comes home, he's battling for position at work, battling for higher pay, and then when he comes home, he has to take one head off to put another head on to now adjust to see what was happening at the home.
Interesting, yeah. Now, if you look at the statistics, most mothers now are in the workplace and are either coming home, you know, as the father comes home, or the mother is the, you know, is the major breadwinner. Is there something? What's that difference in motherhood and fatherhood? You know, other than of course, man and woman. Is there something there that's not obvious to most people? Or is this whole idea about father's issues, you know, can be looked at from a mother's perspective as well, except there's different ways that, you know, the mother versus the father reacts to things?
Well, Earl, if I can speak to that, being a mother, mm-hmm. and a worker too, there was a period of time where I was both the mother and the father to my children and employed full-time. And so I didn't really have time to think about it while I was carrying the responsibility of both roles. But looking back on it now, I can reflect and say that honestly, that I think that there was some difficulty in taking on that role to my children. In terms of, I don't know how to be a father. I was born a woman, and you know, I learned from my mother, from my grandmother, sort of the roles and responsibilities of motherhood. And then when you become a mother, you take on just your own, you adapt to your own personality, and then you contribute how you learn and how you see fit. But I didn't see that there was a gap in what I was providing to my children then that I do now, right, in terms of, you know, they didn't have a male role model to look up to. They didn't have a father telling them the things that they needed to hear from a man, that they were beautiful and that they were, you know, perfect, and all of the things that a woman telling her daughter, it's not received the same. And
right,
when you started off the show talking about the realities of most households and what we're looking at with fatherless, you know, homes, I think that we're probably seeing a lot of this, where women are having to step up and be both, you know, a mother and a father, and being out in the workforce, and so juggling all of these things. And honestly, that's a really good question, because how much time is being devoted to the children in terms of having that role as a father or as a mother? You're talking about people who are literally just living day to day and trying to come up for air. And I think that what I'm seeing in the work that I do is that there's a lack of the roles in general. So mothers are not
right,
being able to father their children the way they want to. Certainly they're not able to father their children because they don't know how. And so I think that there's a lot of work to be done in terms of prevention, which is what Vance is doing, which is what I hope to do. And trying to, you know, bring that completeness, that whole family around, and bring both
right,
parents, if they're willing, you know, to the table to talk about how to engage in their children's lives.
Right, very well said. You know, one of the things that is sort of interesting in terms of the breadth of the situation, meaning fatherless homes, right? I mean, if you look at the statistics around fatherless homes, you know, many people relate that to low-income or undereducated homes, if you will. However, you know, I was just thinking, if you think about with the marriage rates continuing to decline in this country and the divorce rate still around 50%, you know, there must be a large number of fatherless homes that's represented by communities that are more educated or of higher economic status. Vance, what have you seen in your Fathers Matter, Inc. work as far as just across the country? And are you in your work, dealing with all economic levels?
All economic levels, all races, faith, non-faith, reentry. We got a lot of fathers that are just getting out of prison, and they want to step up and stay up and show up now. They don't want to go back to the way they were. So that's what's powerful, Earl. When you come into a Father Matters workshop or conference, you got every race, every background, every age, teen dads to granddads. And if I could add,
right,
Earl, because what we've noticed, what I've noticed, I'm 45 years old, and I've noticed growing up in the 70s, I was raised with my grandparents most of the time because my mom was a single mom, and I've noticed that growing up in my grandfather's home, my grandfather would be the one that would always say, hey, clean up your room, clean up that backyard, the barking. And then what we would
right.
do is go to my grandma for the nurturing. What was happening is you got little boys, grown men, still dealing with little boy issues. So what happens is men look at other men because we don't trust each other. So we look at other men as this guy is barking at me, and then we go put that burden of nurturing on our spouses. And see, that's just it. It's that burden. And what I'm noticing was happening, grown men are looking to other grown men for that male mother inside of them. Now, I know that's a little deep, but we as men need to exchange that male motherhood, meaning reach back to the younger generation of men, because the men are looking for that. They're looking for that encouragement, that affection from another man.
Right. That's interesting. Very interesting, matter of fact. Well, I see it's around 25 minutes after the hour, and we're going to take just a short break here, and when we get back, we'll have some discussion about Brokenness Produces Pearls and talk a little about your book and answer some phone calls and some emails. We'll be right back. Make sure you join us here next Thursday night, March 27th. Our theme for next week's show will be Mastering the Dream, How to Transform Your Dreams into Personal Success. Our guest interview will be with Kelly Leidick, Certified Gateway Dreaming Coach and author of her best-selling book, Mastering the Dream, only here on blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. And welcome back. We have as our theme tonight, Fathers Matter in the Lives of All Families, How to Heal Broken Relationships. And tonight's interview guests are Vance Sims, the founder and executive director of Father Matters, Inc., and his wife, Raina Sims. They are the authors of a new book titled Brokenness Produces Pearls. And we're going to talk a little about Brokenness Produces Pearls right now. If the members of our audience were to go out and get a copy of your new book, Vance, Raina, what should they expect to find?
They should expect to find that from here on out, no more excuses. There's a chapter in there that we wrote that mainly I wrote called Who Said That? Because I was saying earlier that we are grown men still dealing with little boy issues. We also learn how to fight. We also learn how to budget finances. We also learn how to relate in relationships by what we saw. Our children don't do what we say. They do what we do. And sometimes I would find myself doing some of the things that I said I would never do that my father done, or I would say things that my mom said, and I find myself doing some of those things, and it's like, how did I do that? Because I don't do what my mom said. I do what my mom did.
Okay. Now in the book, there's five steps that you guys outline associated with, you know, turning brokenness into pearls. Could you just briefly give an audience an idea of what those five steps are so they can sort of get a feel of where the book's focus is?
Sure. Well, Earl, the first step is really to look at starting the journey of creating the person that God intended them to be. And that journey starts with the second step of identifying the parasites, and we literally do say parasites within you, that can destroy any healthy thoughts, words, and actions, you know, that are developing within you. And then once you can identify that, you can recognize all of the patterns that you've developed in your life through unhealthy relationships, or, you know, recognizing who in your life has contributed to those unhealthy patterns. And then snap that chain, is what we call it, of everything that has held you down. And then the final step is to really get up, get through, and get on. So as Vance said, you know, no more excuses. I know that sounds pretty harsh, but, you know, it really is a matter of making your mind of determining that regardless of where you started from, you can end your journey in the way that you were intended to.
Very good. You know, the use of parasites, I think, is very interesting as far as destroying thoughts, relationships, and growth. What do you mean when you say a parasite from your perspective? Just want to make sure the audience understands exactly what you're trying to get people to think about within themselves.
Well, we did select this word pretty carefully. I mean, a parasite is literally defined as an organism that lives in or on a host, and that would be us. And a parasite actually benefits from deriving nutrients at the host's expense, so at our expense. And when we talk about parasites, we're really referring to all of those nasty things that were told to you when you were a young child that can distort, you know, your image about yourself, distort your thoughts, the parasites that come up in your mind that you've allowed to play over and over again that will lead you in a wrong way. We're talking about the people that you allow in your life that are not helping you. They're actually hindering you from growth. And those can be even be family members. We talk about that a lot in the book, too, that it's not necessarily that gossipy neighbor or, you know, person at work that you can just somewhat naturally identify as a parasite. We're actually talking about maybe even some of our closest family members or friends that once you start to really dig deep, you'll recognize they're really not helping me. They're not adding to me. They're actually taking from me at my own expense. And I'll let Van
add.
He wants to.
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback off that earlier. Yeah, parasites can be habit. For a lot of men, their parasites is pornography. It could be alcoholism. It could be domestic violence, you know, and it gets to a point in life where we got to stop blaming. You know, I'm 45 years old, you know, five kids and one adult son. I can't keep blaming my father for not being there for the man I need to be today for my kids. A lot of us will just hold on to that past. And that can be a parasite. Unforgiveness is a parasite.
Very good, very good. You know, the second part of our theme tonight, along with Fathers Matter, and I think we all agree that fathers in their homes are very important, but the second part is how to heal broken relationships. When I think about your message and the idea of identifying parasites and the idea of moving forward, you know, in a family, unfortunately, things happen and people break up and people, you know, leave home and back and forth. Now, not just the father, right? If the father spent the time thinking through his brokenness and helping to come up with the pearls that are within him that would allow him to, you know, get him back involved with his children or his wife or his family if that was possible. Now, shouldn't on the other hand, we would need the wife also to evaluate her brokenness around that relationship and maybe even the kids, particularly if you got teenagers that are involved in some of the issues associated with family strife. just not limited to the father, right?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, Earl, I grew up in a home. I've never met my biological father, and my mother was married to my stepfather when I was six. But I never really connected to him. There was a lot of abuse in the home to myself and my siblings and then also to my mother. So I grew up for the better part of my life having a really unhealthy picture of what any relationship should look like. But Vance, like Vance said, you know, there's a point in time when you really have to just take accountability for yourself and figure out what's not working so well and then try to come up with some ideas of how to make that better. Unfortunately, for most of my life, I took those habits, you know, that were passed on from my parents, my stepfather and my mother, in terms of how they talked to each other, how they interacted with us, and I brought them into my first marriage. So it was absolutely not, you know, my ex-husband's fault completely. Of course, I brought in a lot of negative habits, really destructive habits on me and then on him as well. So it did take a lot of reflection on myself to figure out, you know, how I wanted to interact with Vance, how I wanted to interact with our children, you know, stopping myself when I saw those bad things surfacing again and saying, okay, I am to some extent a reflection of what I experienced as a child, because we all pick up different things, good or bad. But at the same time, I'm my own person, and this is my marriage, and this is my family and my children, and I can either learn from what happened to me and make that better for both me and them, or I can continue on with the unhealthy cycle that unfortunately so many people do, and I decided to do the former and not carry that craziness into our marriage.
Yeah, yeah, and those unhealthy cycles, I know you guys talk about that in the book, and breaking them, it's just so difficult for most people.
Yes.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right. It's definitely not an easy thing to do, especially when you are surrounded with people that, you know, have just determined that this is the way that life is. This is the way that my family communicated, so this is the way that I'm going to communicate. And besides that, who wants to take a look at your life and determine that everything is not good and that you need to change everything about you? So, you know, and really, it really does, you just need to pause and say, okay, I'm going to look at everything that happened to me. I'm going to own that. I'm going to really just embrace it and deal with all of the crying, let go of the shame, let go of the guilt. And that's a process, Earl, and that for me was a process that included a divorce and a bunch of other negative things. But in all of that, you know, I was able to do everything in those five steps, identify what was holding me back, and sometimes that was me, begin that process, that journey, snap off the things that were holding me down, including my own thoughts, and then figure out a way to just get through. And fortunately, Vance and I rely upon God's word for a lot of that, because we feel that that has the answers to all of life's, you know, issues, and we include a lot of that in our book. But, you know, we had each other, too, and it was just a unique thing that happened with both of us. We were able to kind of look at each other and say, here's what we brought, you know, and it doesn't look too good, but we're going to make something good out of it.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Let's, Charlotte, let's see. We have any questions from emails or phone calls tonight?
Good evening, Vance, Raina, and Earl. We certainly do have a plethora of emails. So let me start with the one that keeps coming up, and it says, what does a good father look like, and what does a good father do?
Interesting.
And that was from Amy from Columbus, Ohio.
What does a good
father look like?
That's a good question. When I get the answer to that, I'll let you know too. But what a good father does, one, is serve. He serves his spouse, and even if he's not in a relationship with the mother, he serves his kids. He's a servant. He listens. He's a forgiver. I mean, it's stuff that I battle with, so I'm talking to myself right now as well.
Right.
But we also listen as twice as much as we use our tongue. We've got to. And a good father has to say, I need help.
Very good.
Very good. Charles, got another email there?
Emails?
Yes. Sure. One minute.
This email is from, there are several comments that came through. This comment is from Lizzie from Dallas, Texas. I grew up feeling like a thief, stealing time with my dad when my mom liked him and stealing from my mom when I liked him. Guess who doesn't want to have kids? And Raina and Vance, this is a resounding comment. It is, the fatherless home has such a broad spreading impact on people in so many ways, as you've commented.
Mm-hmm. It really has. You know, I've learned a lot in terms of co-parenting and, well, first let me speak to, you know, my own feelings growing up in a fatherless home. And I did say that I had a stepfather, but unfortunately we really didn't have a good relationship. And so I still missed out on a lot of, I think, a good experiences that some people share having their father around. And I think that what you long for in another person, and if you never get it, you know, it's one of those things where you don't know what you don't know. You can't miss what you don't have. But definitely seeing Vance in action and co-parenting the way that we both have to do, I think it's really important when you are separated from the other parent to remember that it's not just you and him. There are children involved. And that the most important thing is to realize that everything that you say, everything that you do, the environment that you create is one that will impact that child, that person, for the rest of their life. And so you need to be important in remembering that, you know, to respect the other person, to honor that other person, to uphold them. After all, they couldn't be so bad because you did create another human being with that person.
Right.
And to be mindful of that this person, while you may not agree with them, while you may not be with them anymore, this is somebody that your children are going to look up to. This is their model, you know, of what a man should be in their life. So I think that that's really sad that people do have to find time, you know, to please the other parent. So when one parent is happy, you can spend time,
right.
And when one parent's not, then you have to. So just remembering that we're not, you know, we think we're hurting the other person. What we're really doing is we're hurting our children.
Right, yeah. Very good. Well, I see we are getting close to the end of the show. Where has the time gone here, guys? Before we do, let me ask each of you, though, to just briefly, what message would you leave with our listening audience on today's topic? Just, we got about a couple of minutes left here. Vance, you first.
If you're married, communicate with your spouse. And if you have, you know, if you're in a relationship, talk. Talk about everything, even stuff that hurts. But iron sharpens iron. Communicate, communicate, communicate.
Very good. And Raina?
Well, for me, Earl, I just want to say that, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for all of us, and that, you know, no matter what type of hurt you've gone through, and we certainly have experienced quite a bit, but I can't say that I know everything that everyone's gone through. You know, it's just a matter of really digging deep to say that this is my individual self. God made me for a purpose. I'm going to find out what that purpose is. You know, forgive the people that have hurt you and really tap into who you are so that you can bless yourself and bless other people.
Very good. And for those of you who may have just joined us, tonight's theme is Fathers Matter in the Lives of All Families, How to Heal Broken Relationships. And we have just been delighted with the presence of Vance Sims, who's the founder and executive director of Father Matters, Inc., and his wife, Raina. They are the authors of Brokenness Produces Pearls. Now, Charlotte and I can't offer any more thoughts tonight more profound than those already shared by Vance and Raina. And Vance and Raina, thank you so much for joining Living a Richer Life tonight. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Earl and Charlotte. We are delighted to have the opportunity to do this evening. Thank you.
Thank you,
Very
Earl.
Good.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Very good. Yep, you're very welcome. And like I say,
thanks,
we
Paul.
Can't add anything except, however, as Charlotte and I often say, it's your attitude that determines your altitude. And we believe that that's very much true when it comes to fathers really stepping up to themselves as well as to their families. You can find the Sims book, Brokenness Produces Pearls, at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere books are found. Thanks to all of you for joining and participating in tonight's show. And I wanted to remind you that we will be back with you next Thursday night. And until then, continue to live a richer life.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again at the same time next Thursday.